to be Christians? What percentage of Americans claim, oh, I'll see my old lost loved one in heaven? That's a slightly higher percentage. What percentage of Americans claim they're not going to wind up in hell? Well, that's an even higher percentage, right? Well, good old ABC News did us a favor. They did a random survey of 1,022 Americans, and they came to the conclusion that 83% of Americans claim to be Christians. That's adult Americans. 83%? Other surveys give you numbers anywhere from 76% to 86.2%, depending on the year, and it has been going down for the last couple decades. Well, what percentage of Americans, since they claim to be Christians, what percentage of even bother to be at services every week? Or some sense that they call weekly? Well, it turns out to only be 41%. Okay, so 41% are going to avoid hell. Is that it? What about the world? There's the percentages for every single country in the world, if you could read the small print in the bottom left over there. You'll notice that some countries in South America are doing a lot better than we are. Not really. But as far as this poll and the way they ask the questions, the way people think they are Christians, yes, the percentages are claimed to be higher. There's the worldwide by population. About 31.5% of the world. So that means if you had three buckets, one of those buckets would claim they're Christians. Islam runs about 23%, unaffiliated 16%, and some others. You can read all that. You see, most of the people we run across say, I'm a Christian. Or they say, I'm saved. What do you do? Why aren't these people really saved? Why haven't they gotten their sins washed away? They think they have. Why not? I would like to propose at least two reasons, two foundational, fundamental reasons. Number one is they have never developed a fear of God. As Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the end, not the middle. Before you can even start doing anything with the Bible, you first have to have a fear of God. Now, you can show evidences from the Bible to point them to God, but they better be fearing Him. And then number two, they haven't developed a love for the truth. Isn't that what 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says? Why are they lost? Why are they going to perish? Those who perish because they did not receive a love of the truth, that they might be saved. They have not learned to sacrifice, which is what love includes, right? They haven't learned to sacrifice what they want for whatever the truth points to. So how can we help people develop a fear of God if, this is a big if, I'll repeat that, if they claim to believe the Bible? I'm not saying this works for people who don't claim to believe the Bible, only for people who really claim to believe the Bible. How can we get a visual image into their heads that might help? Again, though, only if they seem to really, really, really believe the Bible is from God. I did this to a guy 2 weeks ago, not the illustration I'm giving you, but he really, really claimed to believe the Bible and said something about billions of years for the age of the earth. It didn't take 5 minutes. He said, well, I got to give up on that belief. But you don't do that to people unless they really believe the Bible. Well, one of the things we're going to try to do is get into their head the idea of seeing that the way, the path, is narrow. Now, the context you're going to take them to is Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded, and that is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we're not going to deal with the whole thing. We're only going to go to chapter 7, and guess what? We're only going to use two verses out of it. I would recommend that if you want to try this, you use these two verses with these illustrations, and then you continue on for the whole 11 verses. You should have them fearing God. You should have them literally shaking in their shoes. So let's read the verse at first. Let's just go through it real quickly here. It says, enter by the narrow gate. You've heard this 1,000 times. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. and there are few that find it. Now, you might want to remind them that it does seem to be true that most people want comforting words, even if it's not the truth. They'd rather have the comforting lies than they would have the uncomfortable truth. So take out that passage that you just had them read, maybe make a Xerox copy of it, hand them a pen or a highlighter, and make them highlight the key words. Or maybe you'll have to do it for them. Have them underline as we read through this. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the way that, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You see, when you look at that word wide, remind them of this. The word wide versus narrow are polar opposites. They're on opposite extremes. Narrow is not just half of wide, okay? They're opposites. You get them down to the next part and you say, you know, these right here, broad, again, that's the opposite of narrow. Now, why does Jesus have to repeat himself? Perhaps it's for emphasis. And then you go to the next part, and what's the next polar opposite? Many versus few. You can't get much more extreme than those words. So how can we get them to have an image in their head of what it means to be polar opposites and remind them that this wide path that leads to destruction, it has to be wide enough for billions of people at the same time? We've got 7 billion people on the planet today. In order for it to be a wide path for the majority to be on, that's a pretty good sized path. How many of you all ever done door knocking? Raise your hand. Okay. Let us put all the people that you talk to over all the years that you've door knocked into either the right or the left category. And ask yourself this question. Out of all the people you knocked on their doors, how many of them didn't want to study? Or how many of them didn't even want you on their doorstep? Or how many of you just didn't love your soul enough? Even if they thought you were wrong, they didn't love your soul enough to be ready to give you an answer. They didn't even love your soul enough to say, listen, I might not know where you're wrong or how you're wrong, but my preacher can show you how you're wrong and go invite you to come back and study with their preacher. So that's one category, all there on the left, right? What about the other category? How many actually wanted to say, hey, we'll do a Bible study? You see, I think we would easily come to the conclusion that that first category probably represented somewhere in the ballpark of 99% of all the doors you've ever knocked on in your entire life. Which would basically say in Orlando, Florida, in Central Florida, less than 1% care enough about God's word, fear God enough to do what he said, and that is always be ready to give an answer. Does 99% and 1% sound like polar opposites? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? You see, when they try to visualize this path, they may not see an image like this in their heads. Look how few people are on that narrow path. How can we illustrate it to them so they might be able to see it a little bit clearer? I'm going to use train tracks. I don't know where they have this thing, but that's a lot of train tracks, okay? And a lot of trains. In fact, there's 64 tracks right there. 64 trains could fit on there. I would call that a wide path, okay? Now ask them this. If half of Americans claim to be Christians, claim to be going to heaven, claim to be avoiding heaven, then about these two paths have to be about equal, don't they? Half of them going to heaven, half of them going to hell. Two paths are about equal. Okay, does that sound like polar opposites to you? Even if it's 60-40, does that sound like polar opposites? No. So here's two different paths, okay? And so ask them, could you honestly say that one of these two paths is narrow or few, and the other path is wide or broad? There's no way that could fit the illustration that Jesus talked about, could it? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll make it a little bit easier on them. We'll remove a few tracks from one side, so we get it down to about 30 tracks, and the other side's got about 70 tracks. So now we got 70-30. Wait a second, I thought it was 75-80% of Americans claim to be Christians. We've swapped the percentage. If you cut that in half, the ones who claim to be Christians, throw away over half of them. Does that illustration fit polar opposites of narrow versus wide? No. You see, if that side right there, the 30%, if that represents narrow, difficult, or few, then Jesus Christ lied. If even 30% of Americans are avoiding hell, then Jesus is a liar. Now you see why you only use this on people who claim to already believe the Bible. Because you now got them in a very uncomfortable state. They don't want to call Jesus a liar, do they? Atheists doesn't mind. But a lot of Americans don't want to make Jesus a liar. You see, that's a whole lot closer to narrow path. One track. Going down this long, narrow valley for miles. Or perhaps this illustration. It's narrow, folks. Or this illustration. Narrow, difficult, few. And remind them that the very next verse talks about false teachers. Was that an accident? Why do people end up on a wide path? Well, there's a lot of false teachers, right? Then ask them if they'd like to know how to be sure whether they're on the narrow path or on the wide path. Now, go ahead and finish the next 9 verses. Go through it, okay? There's some more many's, narrows, false teachers. But we would go on for another 10 minutes, and I don't have that time, okay? But basically, you want to get them to understand that if 30% of Americans, half of them that claim to be Christians, are really going to avoid hell, then Jesus lied. Even if 10%, that's just not narrow, folks. It's not polar opposite. So what about us? Sometimes, how do we go down this path? Sometimes it can be lonely going down that narrow path. Sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes we might want to lose our balance. Or not want to, but we just lose our balance, right? Jesus said it was going to be difficult. And so whether male or female, you need to keep your balance. You need to keep it no matter what time of the year it is or how narrow the track is. And sometimes balancing can be difficult. And some people seem to have a natural balance, don't they? I mean, they can walk that narrow path just so easily, it's amazing. Why? Probably because they started with godly parents. And for men, sometimes they wound up on that narrow path. Where's he looking? He's looking down the path his wife is on. So yes, that is true. Sometimes women do get their husbands to follow them down the narrow path because of their godly influence. And that's what the Bible says. Most of the time, though, about 80% of the time, the women follow the husbands. So husbands, you are the head of the household. You need to be the proper leaders. Even if you have to walk the path alone, keep your eye on the road. And don't worry, God's path can never be destroyed. Never going to be destroyed, folks. Now, you only have one track, and sometimes it's easier to go down that path when your spouse helps you balance. Wouldn't that be a lot easier? Much easier to travel the narrow road with others. And you never know which one's going to slip and start to stumble and needs the help from the other one, right? And even if you're traveling down a path that's going through some tough waters, even if it's just a friend, they can help you through, can't they? Make that phone call. Get some help. Maybe you already learned to balance on the narrow way at a very early age. Where did this kid learn this? Well, you know the answer. He was trained in this, wasn't he? Yeah. So which path are you on? In fact, this illustration kind of shows it quite clear. The guy's going down a road, no cares in the world whatsoever. But someone put a sign up in front of him and says, oh, this one's going to destruction. That's what we need to help people see. They're going to destruction. Then they need to turn around, get on that narrow path, and that's what repentance is about, isn't it? Turning? Yeah. We need to help people realize that they need to get on the narrow path, and they think they're on it, and yet they think all their neighbors and friends are also saved too, or at least a majority of them. Then Jesus lied, if that's the case. We need to obey God, and we need to get on that narrow path, and we need to help each other stay balanced as we go down that road. If we can help you tonight, as this invitation song is sung, to get onto the path by hearing, believing, repenting, being baptized for the remission of sins, and then worshiping properly, living your life properly, and staying on the path, please come forward as we sing this invitation song.